John, just can you give us a little bit of background as to how this one got started in terms of the declarations of fraud and the like?
Yeah, so this is what the Chinese foreign ministry spokesman, they're calling a cabinet reshuffle, which is an interesting play on words, because it's not just a cabinet reshuffle, it's a full-blown military coup. But it is a coup that is not really all that surprising, because the roadmap to democracy that was established back in 2003 and then enacted in a new constitution in 2008 set it up so that the military remained in control of key levers of power. The military, finance, and international relations were dimensions in terms of security that the military, the Tapmadaw, controlled. So that's an important factor to bear in mind. So when it came to the elections in November, where the National League for Democracy did so well, getting 83% of the seats, it became clear, of the votes, I should say, it became clear that this was a threat to the military. And the military had all the way along been prepared to tolerate Aung San Suu Kyi and the National League for Democracy on the understanding that they would still call the key shots.
Mm.
And this push, this electoral success, threatened the military to the point where they thought, you know what, she is actually a problem to them. And what's happened is when they set up that roadmap to democracy and that constitution, they essentially needed the West's blessing. They needed Europe and America and Japan and others to lift sanctions on Myanmar so that they could prosper. And look, in the last 10 years, they've done surprisingly well. But in that 10-year period, the global geoeconomic dynamics have shifted significantly. They're not so dependent on Europe or America anymore. And in fact, they're much more interested in engaging with China. And of course, China is very, as I said, you know, happy to badge it not as a coup, but as a cabinet reshuffle. Very convenient for the Tapmadaw, the military there, who are lapping it up. And we're facing this conundrum now. Well, what do we do? It's really a challenge because neighbours are invested. So Singapore is a very significant investor in Myanmar, and it's not really all that keen to bang on the democratic can and try and whip Myanmar for its misbehaviour. That's not Singapore's style. And others like Japan and Korea, who are also pretty heavily invested in Myanmar, tend to go pretty softly when it comes to liberal democratic ideas, because they're in it for the investment. You know, they're not in it for the politics. So in terms of what we do now, Australia, the United States, other like-minded in the West, and fellow ASEAN neighbours in the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, they're all kind of, most of them are being pretty circumspect, because they don't want ASEAN to implode. ASEAN's really important, you know, for regional security and stability. And Myanmar's got a veto vote in that space. So it's quite a conundrum now. The military, my sense is they feel pretty confident. But what I don't think they had quite appreciated was that this is 2021 is not 1988. Mm. The last time there was a student demonstration when there was a big coup, essentially, the social media has transformed the equation. So they're now trying to turn off Facebook, turn off the internet, turn off mobile phones, and take them back to the pre-digital era, if you like. Now, that's where they were only a decade or so ago, to be honest. So it's not a hugely a big change for Myanmar society broadly. But there's a generation of young people in Myanmar who got used to Facebook, phones, internet, social media. So the question now is, can the military keep a lid on this, the surge in resentment at this overthrow? You know, the NLD clearly was very, very popular, and the military is basically a big slap in the face to the NLD and to the people of Myanmar, saying, no, you don't get to make the calls. We get to make the calls. So whether or not they can contain that now is another thing. Back in the day, Yangon was the capital. So a student protest movement in Yangon could lock down the city and catalyze political change. Today, it's much more difficult because the capital is now in Naypyidaw, a couple hundred kilometres inland. It's a planned city, looks, you know, eerie like Canberra in the 1920s, I'll let you know. It's quite spread out, and it's actually very difficult to get the critical mass to, you know, of popular protest to, you know, bring a crisis to a head. So the military thought this out. They're in a pretty strong position. They don't have all the cards, but they've got quite a number of them, making it very difficult. And I must confess, I'm not overly optimistic about the prospect of this being withdrawn and overturned.
It's funny you mentioned social media, of course, because there is that viral video getting around of a young woman performing kind of an exercise routine who's accidentally captured the coup in the background.
Yes.
She's doing it. So talking about the restrictions on social media there, are we seeing other restrictions being currently enacted on the Myanmar people in order to enforce this state of emergency? I mean, they're kind of buying themselves quite a bit of time, even with their wording, this state of emergency over the next 12 months.
Yes, and they're playing it down so that they basically will dissipate the anger. And it look, who knows how effective that will be. My sense is they're in a very strong position to see that through, as I say, because of the what they've done geographically and what they've done politically and what they've done technologically. They've just turned things off. And from the military's point of view, they don't really care. They don't. And until the military feels the pain of the protesters' actions, I don't see this being reversed. And unfortunately, it's hard to conceive of a scenario where they would feel the pain without a reversion to a scene of considerable bloodshed, as we saw, you know, back 30-plus years ago in the streets of Yangon. And that's not a scenario anyone wants to see repeated. So, you know, what can we do? I think Australia can actively engage with the neighbours. This is where I think Myanmar's relationship with its ASEAN partners is significant. For Myanmar, ASEAN has really started to matter. It's become important to them. They joined, they were latecomers to the party, and it's become quite an important prestige point and a diplomatic leverage point. So the question now is, can the democratically minded states within ASEAN, because we know, you know, some of them, Cambodia and Laos, for instance, and even Thailand are not all that inclined to be all that critical. But my sense is Indonesia is in a strong position to, as the most prominent leading nation in ASEAN and where the ASEAN Secretariat is based, to play a role in kind of not quite shaming Myanmar into change, but certainly invoking a sense of obligation to ASEAN and an explanation of how negative the effect of this action is on ASEAN as an institution and on the centrality of ASEAN. Now, this is, you know, they're linked concepts because ASEAN is actually really important to Australia. Most people don't quite appreciate how significant the Association of Southeast Asian Nations is to our security and stability. That body, set up in the late 1960s, has been an institution that has helped foster security and stability and that has seen remarkable prosperity in the last 50 years.
Mm.
So the future, unfortunately, is really not looking great for Myanmar, and this is, as I say, having a negative effect on ASEAN. We can only hope that through our engagement with those neighbours, Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand and others, we can have try and persuade the Myanmar government, the Tatmadaw at least, to rein their horns in, to see things from a different perspective and see that the course of action they're taking is actually not in their long-term interests.
Well, John, we will have to leave it there, but really do appreciate you joining us on this one this morning. Obviously a situation we'll keep our eyes on as it develops, but do appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on the program, John.